They speak to the metaverse, but act like you know. You are now tuned into the Matthew and Rizzo show. Escape to the metaverse. Better act like you know. You are now tuned into the Matthew and Rizzo show.
Let's go, man.
Slightly later recording time than usual, but I don't know, maybe we're more awake. Or I'm more awake. You're always awake. East Coast time.
We can swap it for like peak awake, Matt, like moving forward or whatever. I'm fiddling around with this safe claim that you had put on my radar. So you posted on Warpcast. I'm trying to figure out how it works. It looks like, I don't know, I got some total allocation that might still be coming through over time but I'm not trying to like fuck it up if by claiming some shit. I don't know. There's so much stuff out like this there now. It's fun being like in airdrop season to some extent, but also that comes with like the rampant paranoia that I'm like constantly missing out on something. Like, I don't know how I would have found out about this one if I didn't see you posting about it.
Yeah. And the safe airdrop, like the actual airdrop and the allocation happened way back in, I think it was October 2022. And they just, the smart contract itself was locked. The tokens were untradeable and they had zero value. So they were just sitting there. And you have your total allocation, and then there's like a 4-year vesting period. So that's why you see like a larger amount. And then if you check like what you have in your account, it's a smaller amount. And periodically, like as the tokens vest, you can like manually claim. So sort of clunky there. But yeah, a nice little surprise. I totally forgot about it until I checked my safe yesterday. And anyone that has interacted or set up like a multi-sig safe previously, like if you remember it being called Gnosis Safe and that's what you used, there's a high chance that you got that airdrop. So mosey on over to, what is the real link?
So we're not sending app.safe.global, app.safe.global, global.
Yeah, go there. If you don't see the safe addresses, get some of your like hot wallets or whatever addresses you think you may have used to set up your safes. Add them in there, and then it'll see any associated or linked signing keys and safes. So check all that, and hopefully you got a nice little airdrop. Can't get mad at the 5-figure airdrops. It's fucking awesome to work in crypto.
Yeah, just, I don't know if I got that coming, but I'm happy for free money falling out of the sky from whatever angle. Dude, also I got Thomas Dillon blowing up my messages telling me about this thing that Scent just released that looks cool, and there's just so much stuff coming out like concurrently right now that I feel like I'm on information overload. But you had mentioned that you had been tinkering around with it, so I'm curious to know what exactly is going on. And there's something interesting to do with the bonding curve that I'm like, all right, this requires like further digging but also time.
Yeah, Cameron cooked up another little experiment. So latest experiment, it's called Up. The like, if you're curious, when I'm moseying over, we do a lot of moseying today, go to up.army. Spell just exactly how it sounds, up.army. And you can buy tokens in a website and you get like meme coins of that website, I guess. And then the bonding curve, like, yeah. So as more people buy more tokens, the price of the token goes up on this like linear curve, and you can sell into that bonding curve essentially. And the more tokens you buy on a website, the site itself is set up like a leaderboard. So currently, Thomas Dillon and a bunch of other folks, it appears, bought a bunch of pagedao.org tokens. So they're sitting at the top of the site. Sense there, Warpcast is there. Coinbase is randomly there. CoinGecko, Streak Points, Nifty Gateway, Rainbow.me. Yeah, people like tokens.
Sort of like a spin on marble cards, like essentially, you know, bookmarking web pages, but then it's got the nuance of like spinning up tokens surrounding those specific web pages. Am I understanding that correctly?
So you're paying in ETH to get these site related tokens that you have then to like hold or sell into the bonding curve as more people buy into it, then the price per token goes up. So like, you make a profit by selling into the curve as more people go in there, or I guess like taking your liquidity out whenever you want. There's a 1% fee on orders. So like if you sell immediately, you'll get, I guess, your funds back minus 1% or 2% fee, like on the buying and selling portion of it. It just seems like it reminds me more of like a token curated registry. But like the way that you get the tokens is simpler. You're just buying the tokens as opposed to, yeah, with ETH. And like they're automatically created. Interesting. Yeah. Thomas is very excited about it.
Yeah, no, I can tell, man. And I respect Thomas a lot. And I know he's got like a big brain for this kind of things, which is why I like mentioned it to you when I saw you posting on it as well. I'm like, all right, Thomas is like frequently ahead of the curve on a lot of things and is pretty in the know and everything. And when he thinks something is really cool, I try to take some interest or pay attention to what's going on. I feel like this is a whole nother rabbit hole that I got to like build time to go down, because I like that kind of thing. But also like I become obsessive and like figuring out the nuances, man. And I've recently, I was talking last week about falling down the AI song rabbit hole, and I've since added like some video editing to the mix and everything. And I chopped up like a rough like Meme Explorers intro with an AI song and some images, and then I did like a Cats Will Eat You like little trailer or something with a bunch of his GIFs and an AI song, and I like chopped them up and everything. And I'm like, dude, fucking all the shit that's coming out right now is like so fun, man. And I feel like Warpcaster several weeks ago, I was like, I don't feel like I know how to warp very well, but I feel like I'm slowly Grandpa Rizzle's like finally figuring out how to like warp better and enjoying my time more and more over there. And I don't know, man, it's a really fun time. I feel like we probably say that almost every week, but I don't know, the technology that's coming out right now is for me at least just like really fun to play with as someone who's like, you know, always pushed a lot of like videos and that type of content out there. And you know, we do the podcast and you know, there's a lot of like content creation type of tools that are coming out now that like play into my existing skill sets. So all that shit has been really fun. And I should tell you, I don't know if you saw the Meme Explorers Town Crier. I've like recently taken on a voiceover gig, which is
For Meme.
Yeah. So yeah, man, this also falls in under the bracket of like rabbit holes I've fallen down and can't quite get out of. So, you know, Meme Explorers have their season zero coming out, not like imminently, but in the not too, too distant future. And so they're working on messaging and running some social media experiments and everything to basically help underscore the actual importance of this meme index they're building, because they have through crowdsourcing, man, like millions, like 25 million plus or something, like NFTs and tokens and shit that are categorized into their meme algorithm index and everything. And can, you know, essentially in theory, utilize this to sort of cross-reference the market, right? Like if Pepe Coin is selling and Pepe NFTs are or aren't, is there some correlation that you can like, you know, sort of combine all of these meme related data points together, which they've been working on for years, man. But suddenly that like suddenly with Meme Explorers becoming a $1 billion like industry, people have like some interest in this, you know, what appeared to be a goofy index that is now, you know, somewhat recording the progression of this industry and everything. So to make a long, long story short, man, the Town Crier is like the goofy Meme Explorers reporter that has been in their Discord sort of like throwing stats at people and meme related information and everything. And so we decided to animate it, and I did the voiceover for it and riff the dialogue for 30 seconds and everything. And Flash Mob and Jonathan over at Meme Explorers like chopped it up and added the animation to it. And they got like little memons running around in the background. And I actually just recorded the second one and sent it over to their way that we'll probably put out either tomorrow or the next day or anything or something like that. But it's kind of fun, man. And I this is another one of these like weird progressions of my skills that I've somehow found myself doing this weird thing. But I've always like you know, I love Johan, man. I know you do as well, and have always respected what they're doing. But I do start to see like the larger picture here of what they're building and the relevancy to the industry. So to be able to be the voice of this like wacky town crier and like have some creative freedom with like the content I create, which is based on their research, you know, I'm like looking at like the actual stats and movements in terms of like dollars or crypto or whatever. And, you know, we'll be reporting on them, at least for this like test period while we're seeing how it works and everything. But this is like the most fun shit about being in this space, man. Like, I feel like, you know, in an inherently random, really weird opportunities with awesome creators just fall into your lap if you're in the mix long enough. And this is one of those, man. So I'm out here having fun, man. But that's my latest thing. If you haven't checked it out, we should drop the link at the Whip tomorrow. It's I don't know, man. I think it's funny, but it's just fun and weird experiment type of shit.
Love it. I mean, long time coming. I felt like you were the unofficial town crier for me for a while. So it's good to make that official. Dude. And people talk about playbooks and shit like that for doing things, but honestly, I think you laid out the playbook for crypto perfectly. Like, in our experience, you just fucking do weird shit and like you get weird airdrops maybe in the future, or at the very least, like, you know what works, what doesn't. You know, we're broken records on this point, but the space, it biases for the doers, the risk takers, doing weird shit folks. So if anyone ever stumbles upon this podcast and is like, what the fuck is going on? If there's like one takeaway, just look out there and do some shit. Find something to do. Don't think about it too much. Just go out and do.
Yeah.
That's it.
Just get involved, man. Yeah. And, you know, I see like, you know, airdrops also come in the form of opportunities, right? But it's the same mentality where if you're out here doing stuff and you're doing stuff consistently, there's the pool of talented people with these types of skill sets is still like pretty small out there. And so, you know, you do something niche long enough that there's a great community of people to support you, and fucking weird opportunities fall into my lap a lot. And I'm fortunate enough to be able to pick and choose a little bit. And, you know, when Johan pitched the town crier concept or whatever, we sort of like came up with it together, but I'm like, dude, this is the fun shit, man. I'm like living life right now, doing fucking voiceovers for dumb shit, like meme.com, man. Like, what the fuck? They're gonna put that out on their like social media channel. I'm like, you know, this is so fun, but I'm not alone out here either, man. And you know, you're one of these people too, who like, you know, basically just by being in the mix and being relevant and, you know, interacting with the people and tinkering around with cool shit, like you've, you know, built a career for yourself and a name for yourself within the industry, you know, which I don't know, just saying that that's an airdrop sort of like trivializes the hard work that goes behind that part of things. But I believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, man, that your background, professional background, is not this. Like you've achieved this through love and effort and hard work and consistently being out there. And at least that's my story. And so, you know, I think there's a lot of people who are sort of hesitant, you know, because of the barrier to entry with the knowledge base and everything. But like, shit, man, I just learned this shit because it's interesting to me and I wanted to. And there's a lot of reward and a lot of people who can find a way for themselves around here just by being a passionate super fan who has a good understanding of what the hell is going on.
No, exactly. Yeah. I mean, yeah, my background is I went to school in Asia and then I worked for a big chaebol over there in their biotech and like global multinational construction outfits. Like there are no experts in crypto. You kind of live your expertise and you leverage that into doing cool shit. You're learning on the job. It's real frontier, like living, honestly, just digitally. Same thing happened back in the day. People walked out like there's no experts, no one to do whatever. Everyone had to step up and create the things they wanted to use and see and buy and sell and all that good stuff.
Yeah, dude. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, man. So like, you know, Stella Bell seems to be doing pretty well. She's been setting up a crypto art school type of thing. Apologize if I got the name of the channel incorrect on Warpcast, but check out Stella Bell on Warpcast. But, and this is not the first time that she's done something like that in terms of just, you know, setting up essentially a channel to onboard people and help educate them. And, you know, shit is confusing. And here's where you can find some answers from like trustworthy people, you know, doing the Lord's work. But I wonder if like, you know, I feel like one of the reasons it's been frontier learning and a hands-on type of shit is because everything's so new and has been so new that there is no professional background, or I mean, maybe, adjacent, but there's really no professional background that someone can come in that replaces like hands-on expertise in, you know, how things actually work in real time. And I wonder if we get to a point as an industry where like there will be some equivalency of like a crypto art school accreditation that actually, you know, lends people some sort of credibility in terms of like, you know, finding a job or making a way for themselves out here, or if like the landscape is just sort of ever evolving and changing so fast that nothing will ever replace that, like sort of, you know, boots on the ground type of knowledge and experience. I don't know, man, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, at least for the short term, I think the speed of the space makes it really hard to create any sort of like official accreditation system where like you need to study this, learn this, go through this, and then you're sort of like, you know what the deal is. Just because like what those requirements would be probably outdated by the time they're like put together and like, yeah, people put their stamp of approval on them. That said, like everyone's on-chain actions, in my personal opinion, and like the relative frequency of interacting with blockchains, like plural, like wherever you're doing shit on chain, that in my mind acts as sort of like unofficial accreditation system where you see people have been showing up, you see what they've been collecting, purchasing, putting time into. So I think that works reasonably well, but also just the old fashioned CV is not dead, right? So anytime that anyone is doing anything like professionally, like time I've spent over at Cent, Nifty Gateway, all the shit that I've done there, like just distilling that old school into a resume, that's also something that's, yeah, not going away anytime soon. So just thinking through like what you've actually done, I think is quite helpful. And if anyone has been working professionally and you think about what you have done at any given time, you're probably going to be like, holy shit, I did a whole bunch of stuff. You know what I mean? So that's a good exercise to go through. But dude, Cameron from Cent actually hopped in because I probably did a shitty job of explaining up.army. I asked him to jump in to see if he could jump on stage to kind of like, yeah, tell us from the horse's mouth. So Cam, if you can hear us, just request to jump on stage and yeah, correct my ass.
Impromptu thingy. Yeah. While we're figuring that out, man, shit, what was the other thing I was going to say? Something along those lines. Ah, damn, what was it? We cut this part out. Something about what you were just talking about before you were mentioning Cameron.
Oh, like if we could create like an accreditation system or something like
that. Oh, yeah, man. Let me just scratch on that while I see Cameron's hopping up on stage here and would love to hear the deep dive and everything. But dude, I can see like, it would almost be cool, man. I feel like there's a lot of very intelligent people who have entered the scene in the past couple of years who have picked up the general knowledge of the current landscape very quickly, but they lack like the perspective of having been here and seen, you know, how the landscape has been shaped and changing over the years. And I feel like, dude, if there was some sort of like blockchain history course or something like that, that like sort of just covers like all of the general basics so that people have context when they're coming in and diving into the latest, you know, new thing that's, you know, too new to have a course on or whatever. But I'm like, that is one thing I've noticed in like the past, really since like, you know, 2021 or so, like that hype cycle where a lot of those people stuck around, but a lot of them are very smart. And this isn't a shot at anyone in particular, but a lot of them have not taken the time to go backwards and have that larger frame of reference and context. And I do feel like that is important and helpful when it comes to really doing anything out here. Maybe I'm just like, you know, Grandpa Rizzle sounding like a blockchain history buff. It could be me. We can move on to Cameron.
Yeah, let's put a pin there. I think there's an interesting thread to pull on in terms of like tokenized history and like the lack of just folk paying attention to history, not just on the blockchain, but like in life in general. But to have like a really interesting segue. Yo, Cam, can you hear us?
Yeah, am I coming in? I have no idea if this is working.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Amazing. I was having so much issues with my audio. What's up, guys?
What's up? Cameron, explain this fucking cool thing, but also like, I'm 10 years old and have just taken like a really long math test or something.
Yeah. Well, I think there's always been a question of like, when is this project going to launch a token? When is this project going to launch a token? And I started thinking like, well, what if a company or a project or anything that's happening doesn't need to launch its own token? There's just already one that's kind of created for it. And it's actually, they say tokens are the best marketing. So yeah, kind of combining like a leaderboard that markets the top coins, and it kind of ties them to the website that the project is hosted on. And so that's what Up Army is. I just call it Up. Army was like a cool suffix that felt relevant. But yeah, it's like meme coins for sites, or site coins, as I call them.
No, I was just going to ask you to like walk through an example. So I know Paige Dow, Thomas Dillon are like very big on this. Like, how are they like? Like, what's the strategy here? Or like, has there been like a good like use case that you could point to and be like, this person is doing exactly what this was intended to do, or something?
Yeah, I think Peja has a great example. They bought the top spot. When you buy coins, it goes into a bonding curve. So every dollar you spend gets you tokens that you can then cash back out on the curve. The more tokens, the higher the price on the curve. So he put a bunch of money, not a ton, but like enough to basically pump the price of PageDAO.org. I'm pretty sure that's the top one right now, to the top of the leaderboard. And yeah, the idea is like, if more people look at money as a way of curating things, then maybe it'll get more competitive to get to the top. And more people will try and communities will rally and throw ETH on base at the project's tokens to get it pumped up.
Yeah. So
go ahead, Matt.
Yeah. Can you break down a bonding curve? What a real bonding curve is? Give us a couple examples too, like cash. You buy it at it, you see the stated price, and then the selling part, selling into the bonding curve, just so folks grok that properly.
Yeah. Sounds too magic.
Yeah. Yeah. Bonding curves are crazy actually, because if you think about it bonding curves are not really a thing yet. Right now, like Uniswap is a thing, right? And in order to like be successful on Uniswap, you need to have people like LPs putting up the token and then putting up the trading token. So you might have like, WIP token and ETH, and you have to have both and you pair them. You have to have these market makers. So with bonding curves, every coin starts at a supply of zero. There's none of the tokens. And what happens is as you buy coins, you're minting them and the price goes up. So with Up, the first coin that you buy, let's just say the unit is let's just use generic units. You pay one. The second coin that gets bought, you pay the supply squared. So if there's one, it's one squared. If there's two, then the next one costs two squared. So two or four units, and then three squared, and then four squared. So the price increases exponentially. It's like a quadratic curve to the power of two. And so it gets more expensive the more of these coins that are issued. And so there's no fixed supply, but it just becomes very expensive as a coin supply grows to keep buying more coins, keep minting more coins, because the curve gets steeper. Correspondingly, if you sell coins back into the curve, they get burned and the price goes down, right? So going from 4 coins to 3, the price of the fourth coin is 16. After you sell one, you get that crypto back, and then the new price is 3 squared 9. So from 16 to 9. And so this kind of can show how it's like a dramatic price curve. And that's kind of the essence of bonding curves. And the cool thing is, like I said, you don't need to have a market maker. It's like the curve is the market maker.
So this might be a dumb question, but like, why isn't this type of system set up more often? Full disclosure, whatever, it sounds like a little like pyramidy, like you don't want to be the last one holding the bag type of thing, unless the tokens like actually have some utility, or they're useful, or you're happy buying them to use them in the intended way, or that kind of thing. But also, I'm like, it also just seems to, especially for smaller projects or someone who's just trying to, maybe they're not interested in the whole bonding curve type of thing, but they just want to spin up an ETH worth of tokens for their community that only has a website right now. And then they can distribute those tokens and the community can do what they want with them or like whatever. And remove the bonding curve aspect, or like put it on the back burner in the case of people who really just want to spin up a limited token supply for an intended purpose type of thing. If I'm understanding this properly, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm like, this seems like something that should have been a thing, or probably is a thing elsewhere, or like, I don't know. It cut me off here, man.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely token launch pads that'll give you more like customizable control over like, okay, you want to launch a token, you want to have certain distribution. This does none of that. It's actually like the curve is always in play, and so there's always going to be an exit. There's always going to be an entrance, and it's not going to be on Uniswap. It's going to be directly on the curve itself. I think the reason that people haven't come to something like this is because, we haven't seen the meme experiment play out at scale yet. And, you see like some of the coins trading and it's like very low market cap. So I think it's early. I don't know where it's going to go myself. Meme coins definitely the profit motive from a participant is something that is like hard to deny, even though we're not doing it. There's protocol fees, but the fees, they don't go to like cent or anything like that. It's all just for fun and to see if we can get people really excited about using ETH. And that's the thing. We at Cent, we've always been like, can we use crypto as a new way of like curating cool shit? And that's really, this is just an extension of that with these site coins.
If they're so let's say shit takes off, right, and like a lot of people use it, and then suddenly the top 10 or whatever, in order to get into the top 10 of visibility, it's like a pretty high price point that most people are priced out of. If and when it comes to that point, like, what would you say is like the primary motivation for someone who, may not have enough money to throw to get themselves, peak visibility or much visibility, but have their own community that they feel like they can communicate this and drive value through beyond the inherent, trying to get visibility on up?
Yeah. I mean, I think that visibility is a big thing though. Like you guys are doing dope shit. Like we're doing cool shit at Cent. A lot of people are doing experiments. And the hardest part is like, how do you get people to see this stuff? Because there's just so many places. And so I think as a project creator, you can turn to this and be like, if a project creator endorses this and is like, hey guys, this is the way that I want to incentivize you and get the word out, I think that could be pretty powerful. And I think that there's definitely levels to participation, right? So you might be a project creator, you might have a fledgling community, but the incentive now of having a token might pull in a larger community and it might just kind of manifest itself. I think that would be like the ideal outcome, is that you go from having no exposure to, but just like a cool idea and maybe some chops to execute it, to now having like a full-fledged incentivized community that has skin in the game with you.
Matt, should we be doing some shit like this for the podcast? What's your brain thinking?
Yeah, the key constraint there is that you, like, for us, we could do pods.media. Actually, we'll buy some Sitecoin for pods.media right after this. But it'll go to the homepage. We can't link out to like derivative pages. That was my first question to Cam when he told me about this a couple of days ago. I was like, oh shit, I wanted to just hype up my Warpcast profile link. And it only goes to the top level domain, which is interesting.
No, it is interesting. Yeah, man, it's already got my wheels spinning, because that was the first thing I thought of in terms of like, you know, how does this apply to anything I'm involved in some cool way that we can use it for? And maybe I'll noodle on that afterwards. Yo, Cameron, dude, thanks for hopping on and like doing the deep dive with us, man, like impromptu and everything. Appreciate always what you've been doing at Scent and all your random experiments and shit, man. So cool to have you in here.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you guys calling on me to come and explain this. Hope we get to chat about it more soon. Later, guys.
NFA-DYOR.
Likewise. I mean, this is the good shit, right? Like, literally what we were just talking about, man. Like, we just had like a wizard in the audience, and like, we needed some fucking wizard answers. And dude just hops right up on stage with us impromptu and gives us the deal and everything. And it's awesome, man. It sounds dope. I'm struggling to like figure out how it works for something in my, you know, wheelhouse or whatever, but I get the direction that he's going with it. And just because I don't necessarily see the vision for myself doesn't mean it's not fucking cool or cool for other people.
I think, all right, to personalize it, like if the whip had an actual website, and imagine a universe where we didn't have like a Whipsy token from way back in the day, and we didn't want to go through the traditional process of spinning up Whipsy token with whatever the cap supply is, figuring that out. If we didn't want to set up liquidity pools over on Uniswap, up.army is a way to do all of that in one fell swoop. And to just, you have some cash, you want to create a token that has like instant liquidity. You spin that up, you get N amount of tokens back, and you distro those tokens to your community. Those folks in the community could hold, they could buy more, or they could sell into the what's effectively the liquidity pool that you created with that initial purchase, because the money that you used to spin it up, it's stuck in the curve. It's like a de facto escrow account that folks will be able to pull from if they sell tokens, right? So it's like a one-stop shop for that. And it leans into the fact that people have been spinning up meme coins willy-nilly. You may as well spin it up around like an actual site that exists, is sort of the way that I'm thinking about it. Same thing with like Scent being on the leaderboard. For the longest time, people like Scentians, like all of us, were like, when Scent coin? And this is a way that like the Scent coin actually is there now. It exists. Folks can buy into it. Maybe Cameron will buy a whole bunch and then like make it rain on past sentience or whatever. But like it's a tool towards that end, or those kind of ends, is sort of how I'm thinking about it now.
Yeah. Well, dude, I'm like, just thinking again about the podcast, we've been minting them on pods, and I'm like, dude, maybe not in our situation, but I'm like, you know, there are probably some situations where it'd almost be worth just buying a domain so that you have one and can go through this process, you know, just slap our logo up there or some shit. I'd be interested in knowing a little bit more on what domains are, you know, play nicely and what don't. And because, you know, now that we're minting on, pods.media, you know, we have a list of people who have been, you know, collecting from us, and we've been talking about, you know, doing something for those collectors, which we have not forgotten about. But I don't know. I'm always just thinking, anytime something new comes across my table, man, I'm like, does this apply to anything we're doing in some interesting way, and does it make sense? And is it going to be a giant pain in the ass for me to like maintain over a long period of time? Those are like the main questions.
Yeah. A bunch of it's TBD, but kind of a cool experiment.
Yeah.
There's an open bounty. So whoever is like top of the leaderboard at the end of the day on the 26th will get like 0.1 ETH as a bounty or something like that. So it doesn't hurt to kick the tires. It is like the best approach.
Yeah. No, never, man. I feel like that's sort of like the common thread throughout this whole podcast is keep tinkering, kicking the tires, play around with different things, find your tribe that likes the same things that you do, and keep fucking kicking tires, rinse, repeat.
Yep. And learn from that on-chain history. I feel like that's like, boom, full circle. Getting back to
real
the history conversation that we had before Cam jumped in there.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Dude, real quick before we jump, though, we should definitely shill the cyber brokers takeover of the whip tomorrow real quick.
Oh, yeah, dude. I mean, Carter L has been up in our DMs organizing this thing. I mean, can't say enough about that dude. We met him in NFT NYC, and mm-hmm. dude is just like super proactive and very conscious about putting together a really cool event that the audience is going to be engaged with and enjoy. And so they're like, a few different portions of this event going on. That we got some prizes loaded up courtesy of Cyber Brokers for the audience who comes out tomorrow. So, I mean, you know, this we've had a few of these in a row, man, where it's just like, you know, we have a whip meeting every week for people who are listening just so we can sort of get in sync and make sure that everything's lined up. But a few weeks in a row, going back to last week with Bay and Metageist is like, dude, the whip this week is in like, you know, hands of people we are very confident of. Not that we just like turn it all over to them, but, you know, with someone like Carter L's, you know, putting this together, it's already essentially done and ready to roll aside from like a few logistical things to be sorted out. So, dude, I love these. I'm stoked and have nothing but the utmost confidence that it will be a dope event. Possibly we might break HyperFi, but you know, that only enhances the dopeness.
Yeah, and it's HyperFi at first, and then we're going to be jumping into a game that they custom built over in Nifty Island. So excited for that. Great. Ton of giveaways. There's going to be a Genesis mech up for grabs for folks, so make sure you download that Nifty Island client. And there's one other requirement. I think it is you need to sign up to paradigmfound.com. You link your ETH addy there. Use the same ETH addy in the guest book when you sign up tomorrow. And if you're selected to win, boom, that's how you get all the prizes and all that good stuff. So do that. It's going to be dope, fun, a lot of giveaways, a lot of games.
Yeah, good shit. Yeah, I was saying, we'll remind people at the beginning of the whip too, how to get all the things. And shout out to Fabiano and Patricia once again coming out with a giveaway for everybody who comes. So once again, if you don't win anything, just show up, kick the tires, tinker around, sign the guest book. I mean with them making stuff every week for everybody, it always hits. Also, they've been releasing their NFTs on Zora recently, so that even though they're the Vox models, because they're releasing them on Zora, you can actually pull the GLB right from the NFT and everything. So the past few weeks, those who have attended the whip and gotten the giveaways, check out the links and everything. If you need help, let me know. But that's how I got Fabiano's house in the whip spot last week. It was honestly very easy. Just dragged it right in from the NFT pretty much. So yeah, shout out to them and everybody comes out tomorrow.
Boom. There we go. Awesome, dude. Nice tight show.
Good shit, man. All right, man. See you at the Cyber Brokers thing.
Yep. See you in the metaverse tomorrow.
Later, man.
Peace. Dragonite, Dragonite's mom, IG88. Jose Cabrera, what up? Thank you for listening in. Later, y'all.